The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teacher of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. How much we look toward that day. There will be peace in the valley. Because some days nowadays, it doesn't seem like there's peace. So much going on, so much happening. But it is because of Jesus that we can have peace. It's because of a Jesus that has been proclaimed for centuries that we can have peace. I told you that Peter and John have healed a lame man at the temple in Jerusalem. He was probably outside of one of the gates. And as he was there outside the gate, he would have been doing the only thing that he was in his society allowed to do that he could do. He was begging for money for subsistence so that he could take care of himself. And as Peter and John come to the temple that day, they find this man sitting there and Peter says, be healed by the name of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if I remember the story right, Peter says, I don't have any coin to give you. I don't have anything else to give you. But what I do give you is the power of Jesus Christ. And the man who had been lame since birth gets up and walks. What an incredible moment that must have been. People would have known that that man was the same man. They would have understood that they have seen him time and time and time again sitting outside the temple asking for help. And now they're going to see him walking around. The story goes on to even tell us some more if you go back and look at it. That Peter then proclaims the word of Jesus Christ to all who were there. And the reason they got arrested is because now more than 5,000 people have gathered together believing in the name of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ can do. So Peter and John are arrested and put in jail. And the next morning, they're asked to come before the religious leaders. Have they been arrested because they've helped a lame man? No. That's not the reason they've been arrested. They've been arrested because they're upsetting the religious leadership of that day. And they're upsetting not only just the religious leadership, but they're upsetting how everything is structured in their society and how the religious leaders have control. And Peter and John have upset that. Because this man has been healed through two of the followers of Jesus Christ, not through the religious leaders. That's why they've been arrested. And I want you to notice that as the religious leaders ask their question, they're not denying the fact that this man is healed. By the way, the word that for healed that Luke uses as he writes this passage can be translated to two different English words. One, it can be translated to the word healed, which is what happened for the lame man. But it can also be translated to the word saved. It has a dual meaning. It means both things. So the high priest family and the other leaders ask, by what power or what name did you do this? By what power or what name did you do this? Tell us. See, they're upset because they couldn't control the situation. Most of our fights in this world, most of our battles, most of our wars, most of our interpersonal relationship issues all go back to control. Think about it. They all go back to control. People get mad at one another because they couldn't control the outcome of a situation. That's why the religious leaders are mad. They could not control what was going on. And instead of people turning to them to find salvation, they're turning to people like Peter and John, who you know as nothing but fishermen, uneducated people. Maybe they know their scriptures and maybe they understand them a little bit better because Jesus has walked with them and Jesus has told them about them, and now they have the Holy Spirit that's guiding and leading and nudging them. But the religious leaders haven't controlled the situation. And that's why Peter and John are in trouble. Notice what it says, though. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed / saved, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Peter goes on to say, there is no other name by which humans can be saved. No other name. Is that a message our world needs to hear right now? Our world believes that you can be saved in any numerous of ways. You can follow this path, or you can do these things, and you can check them off on a list, and you will be saved. What does Peter say? There is no other name. And I'm not open to other ways of salvation. I'll just very clearly state that. Other ways might bring people to the point where they come to know God. But until people come to know Jesus Christ, they cannot be saved. Peter says very clearly, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name. Unless you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you will not be saved. This is not the only place in Scripture that says this. Jesus also says the same thing. Jesus says that there is no other way to God but through me. This world wants us to have an all-inclusive message. Just be good and you'll get there. Just do the right things and you'll get there. That is not what the scriptures say. I talked last week a little bit about how church membership has declined in the last 20 years. It has gone from 70% of Americans to 47% of Americans are members of churches now. In 20 years, it's changed that much. Of those in churches, many of them do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to know the Father and to salvation. What does that say about even churches and church membership? That people believe there are other ways, when we can look at Scripture here and it's very clearly stated, there is no other way. Either Scripture is true or it's not. And if this fact is not true in the Scriptures, then I need to set aside all of the Scriptures. Because all of the Scriptures support this. It does not support you find your own way, you make your own path, and you will be saved. If that could happen, why do we need Jesus Christ? Think about that. Why did God have to send God's own Son if salvation could be found in another way? In one way, I like what Peter does here because he quotes Scripture to support what has happened. He said, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed / saved." And in verse 11, Peter quotes Psalm 118 and says this, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." If you know your Scriptures, you know that Psalm 118 doesn't say it exactly that way. Psalm 118 says, the stone rejected by the builders, the stone which the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone. Peter changes the words of the Scripture to say, you religious leaders who rejected Jesus Christ have rejected the cornerstone of salvation. He changes it to let them know they have done it. That they have been a fulfillment of the prophecy in the Scripture found in Psalm 118. You have done it. Now, please don't use these words to say that, therefore, all Jews walk the wrong way. Therefore, all Jews, we should be against them. Because I want you to remember that Peter and John are Jews. Jesus was a Jew. There are Jewish people who have come to believe. Just because you're from that race does not mean you're condemned and you have rejected. They have a choice just as we do. This story is about God working in the midst of the world. This story is about what God does through two faithful individuals to help someone. This story is about God's hand in the midst of the world doing something. I want to let you know I am a firm believer in the fact that God is still at work in our world. God is currently doing mighty work around us by saving and healing people here, now, currently. God still works in the midst of this world. God has not set off from the world once Jesus came and said, "That's it. Let them figure it out. Let them understand about Jesus being the Messiah and being the Christ." No, God's still at work in our world. I read a phrase in a book here recently. If I can remember it, I'm going to probably paraphrase it a little bit. If we have been somewhere and we have not listened, we haven't been there. I see some of you looking at me like, what? So let me say it again. If we have been somewhere and we have not listened, we have not really been there. Can I change that a little bit? Will you let me? If we have been somewhere and we have not seen God at work, we have not really been there. Because God is at work in this world around us, touching people's hearts, drawing them closer to Jesus Christ. God is at work. And if we have been somewhere and we have not seen God at work, we really haven't been present to what's happening in that moment. Because God is at work everywhere. Do you get what I'm saying? If you have been somewhere and you have not seen God at work, then you really haven't been present to what's happening in that moment. You've been preoccupied. You've been looking in another direction. You've been concerned about something else, and you have not paid attention to what God's doing. God currently is doing mighty work around us by saving and healing people here. God is doing it. One of the reasons I spent almost a year with the church staff just talking about that one question that I've told you about before. Where have you seen God working in the past month? That was our only question for staff meetings every month for a year. And I told them, we're not talking about anything else. We're not talking about programs. We're not talking about schedules. We're not talking about events coming up. We're only going to talk about where do you see God working around you in this past month. Because when we see God working around us, that's where God's asking us to be involved. And if we miss where God's asking us to be involved, we will miss the very blessings that God has for us. Does that make sense? We will miss the very blessings that God has for us if we miss where God's working. Can I come to God on my own? The truth is, no. God has to draw me. God has to work within my heart. When you go to talk to someone about Jesus Christ and about accepting them as their Savior and Lord, if you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit has already been there to talk to that person and is drawing that person towards God already. You're not striking out in the middle of nowhere. The Holy Spirit's already worked in that person's heart. The Holy Spirit is working in your heart to draw you together so that you can proclaim Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Lord, as the one in whom salvation is found, and it is found in no one else. So if God is already working around us, and God is already touching hearts, and God is already doing mighty things around us currently now in our presence, it's time for us to stand up and declare the work that we see God doing in our presence. Folks, it's time for us to stand up. And it's time for us to declare What happened for Peter and John? Can you tell us by whose name you healed this man? By whose name? By what? Whose power? Peter said, I got this one. This is an easy question. I got it. Hold off, John. I'll tell him. I mean, we can be thankful for Peter, right? Peter loves to talk. Peter loves to jump up and give an answer to a question. I don't think John had an opportunity. I think Peter jumped first. John, I got it. It's by the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man has been healed and saved. And there is no other name. And by the way, you rejected him. So let's see, what's the end of this story? Without reading on any further, what's the end of this story? Let's lock him away in the deepest dungeon and never let him out again. No, that's not the end of this story. You would almost think that, though, wouldn't you? Because Peter and John have been very bold, very courageous, and they have spoken up, and the religious leaders, you would think, in a normal story, what would happen? Let's not let these guys out ever again to tell this story. Peter and John go and pray with the believers right after this. Thank you, God, for letting us do what we've done. And the church continues to grow. And more people continue to come in and to know about Jesus Christ. Why is church membership failing? I think part of the reason is people in churches are not bold enough to stand up and talk about it. We're in this world where tolerance should happen. You can't say that. That's not true for me. I don't believe that. That offends me. But yet, as a pastor, as a Christian, if I tell them that their way offends me, I'm in trouble. So I'm not going to tell them that their way offends me. I'm going to tell them the truth. And I'm going to let them know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Messiah, is the only name that people can come to get salvation and have eternal life. Only one. There is no other way. And until the church starts standing up more and declaring that, we will continue to see churches grow smaller and smaller and smaller. So here's what I'm going to leave with you to think about. Will you declare? Will you declare what you see God doing in our midst, in our community? Will you declare? When you see God doing something that only God can do, will you declare? Will you speak up and say, this is done in the name of Jesus Christ. This is done by the power of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was resurrected. And there is no other name by which people can be saved. Will you declare? Or will you continue to let the world declare what they think is truth? I don't want to stop them from declaring what they think is truth. I want to make sure they know what I know is truth. And I am so much a believer in what God has done that if I speak the truth, I know as a final product, the truth will win out. But folks, if we don't have the boldness to do that, we'll continue to see churches grow smaller and smaller. So how about you? When you see God working in our community, When you see things that only God can do and changing hearts that only God can do, will you declare? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Peter and John. Thank you for the incredible boldness of Peter. Sometimes, Lord, we shy away from him because we're afraid that we might do what Peter did so many times, that we'll look foolish by sticking our foot in our mouth and continuing to talk. But Lord, the truth is, when we declare that it's only by your power and through the very name of Jesus Christ, things will transform. Things will change. People will come into your kingdom by trusting what Jesus Christ has done for them. So Lord, we ask for two things today. We ask that you open our eyes in such a way that we cannot miss where you're working around us. And secondly, we pray that you would give us such boldness to proclaim loudly, this is done because Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And salvation is found in no one else. Lord, help us that we might be faithful children of yours by proclaiming to this world the very truth of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.